Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweeps. My name is Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic of our podcast today is the execution of Eva Dugan. I think it's Ava or Eva.
Eva, probably.
Okay, Eva Dugan. That's the execution of Eva Dugan. Eva Dugan, he had a unremarkable life, really, but she became the only woman ever to be hanged in the state of Arizona. So we're going to, and it didn't go well, we're going to talk about her life and what led up to her execution. But before we do, we'd like to dedicate this episode to Betty Happ, who is the mother of Andrew Happ, one of our loyal listeners and Patreon supporters. Betty unfortunately passed away, so we're going to dedicate this episode to her memory. And we also want to give a special shout out to our dear friend Katya, who lost her grandfather this past week. So Andrew and Katya, we're thinking of you, and we hope that at least momentarily we can make you smile with this podcast. Let me introduce our panel. I'm joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented, the Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, Satan's Dirty Little Secret, Pill Poppin' and Penis Lovin', Brandy.
Hi, Timmy.
How are you today, Brandy?
I'm okay. I'm just, what? Chuck's shirt is unbuttoned, which is a little disturbing.
Yeah, he's got that like 70 disco kind of look. He's got a gold chain and
silver, Timmy.
Got his,
I don't like it. Gold. It makes my, oh.
What are you doing?
I got my mama gave me this when she died.
Well, why you got your shirt unbuttoned for?
I'm just getting myself comfortable. We're in the studio. We ain't doing videos.
No, no.
There's a lady present.
Yeah, and Timmy doesn't like it.
Well, I guess we're going to skip right over Brandy time.
Button your shit up.
I guess we're going to
skip. I got one button undone.
No, two.
You cannot show nipples, Chuck, in the office.
We are a coalition against nipples.
Yes.
Against your nipples.
C-A-N.
No.
Coalition against nipples.
Yeah. C-C-A-N.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Coalition against Chuck's nipples. C-A-C-N. There you go.
I don't know what he's doing. But
I don't either.
Let me introduce.
He's bound and determined to fuck up Brandy time every friggin' time. It's kinda, all about Chuck all the time.
He kind of steps right over Brandy time.
He's like the baby of the family. All Chuck, all the time. Oh, are we not looking at you for a minute, Chuck? Let's get over here and pay attention to you.
Somebody seems a little bitter today. Table for one, Mrs. Bitters.
No, Bobby Bitterpants is sitting over there, and I'm not going to a restaurant with him.
I want to say before we get started, I want to apologize. We released a podcast yesterday, and there was some technical difficulties with that. So.
And I'm glad, because that script was the most fucked up thing I ever read. It was
the script was fine.
The script
It was good.
It was the most boring story. Oh. I listened to Ali and Charlie, the Tylenol murders.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I was goddamn ashamed. I mean, I was
well,
glad.
You should be ashamed.
Yeah, it should be.
For a lot.
You have a lot of reason to be ashamed. Yeah. My scripts are not one of them. the man who is the moral compass of our podcast.
I hate that.
A man who has been described as an oasis in the desert of despair.
He's never been called that.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm wonderful, Timmy. And before we start, I just want to, and we'll get started on this script real quick, but I got to give a shout out to my little niece, Juniper, who turned one over the weekend. A beautiful little girl.
Oh, happy birthday.
That's and listener or people who follow the page, Dominique Wagner is her mother.
Yes, and Dominique is
one of our
listeners.
So she's my great niece.
Yes.
My daughter turned 31 the first day of spring. So shout out to Sarah.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
And this weekend it's going to be very nice. And Dominique has another little boy. He reminds me of the movie Little Man Tate. You remember that?
I know.
The kid's a genius. I mean, kid is a freaking genius.
Well, his mom is very bright.
Oh, she's very bright. But
how does she end up being related to you?
Distantly.
Distantly. She is my daughter's, or my sister's daughter.
Okay.
Is
that something she's proud of?
Nope.
She loves her Uncle Chuck. She loves her Uncle Chuck.
Speaking of Uncle Chuck, Chuck, have you confirmed that you have hotel reservations for Crime Con yet?
He's not confirmed.
I'm going to confirm that this afternoon.
Allie, we need your help.
Blah, blah, blah.
But I just want to end. But anyway, this weekend it's going to be nice, and I've been promising her the little boy Jack.
It's not. It's going to rain.
No, Saturday it's going to be nice.
Saturday it's going to rain all day.
I don't give a fuck about the rain. We're going to take. I get to take Jack to the zoo, and the kid's just an amazing little man, and
very nice.
So I get to take him to the zoo. She's let me have him for the zit.
Hey, Brandy, you know what I'm doing this weekend?
Jack shit.
Working, Brandy.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry for that.
Well, Chuck is at the zoo.
No, hold on. Timmy comes in and works these half days on Saturday, banks him his vacation
days.
Okay,
look, they're not
half
days.
And then takes trips to Thailand.
It's 8 to 2:30. It's not a half a day.
It's a partial day. He ain't doing a goddamn thing. Pretty much what the devil does in her office most of the day.
Okay, let's get on to the story.
Let's get on with the script.
Really,
because
pot?
You're...
Really, pot?
You know, we had the issue yesterday with the the technical issues, and I mentioned it on our page just to, so folks know we screwed up and we were sorry. And
we didn't screw up.
That I screwed up and
there
I was sorry. And they responded by, several of them responded by making Patreon donations, which is really sweet of them. So we thank you very much
for
that.
We appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
And Rachel Flynn said she'd bring a laptop over to us.
Yeah, she even offered
to bring. And that was not our problem. We all have laptops. The problem was that we just had
the laptop.
Right.
The laptop fucked up. We don't.
Yes. But thank you guys very much for.
Was it the laptop that fucked up?
Well, let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
Let's get on.
He's
with
a technical
this.
Reject.
So, we want to thank all of you who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee tiny little bit to me.
Every little thing's help, and we very, very much appreciate all the help that we get, all the support we get. If you can't afford to give, just listen or share, retweet our podcast, whatever. We appreciate all your support.
We love retweeters.
We do. With that in mind, I want to thank all of you who support us on Patreon. That's Alicia and Chip. TJ Young, who has been very generous with us, and we really appreciate that. TJ really stepping up. Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Maja, Aaron, I think is how to pronounce it. Thank you, Aaron. Kimberly Chabron. I know I screw these names up, but I really, you know, I don't mean to because these people are important.
No, it just reminds me of that Key and Peele thing where he calls it Aaron.
You what?
Oh, my God. You have to watch it. It's Key and Peele. They're funny.
Yeah.
And they do this thing where they mess up. This guy messes up the names, calls Aaron Aaron.
Oh. It's maybe Aaron. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. So if I'm not, I apologize. Elise. Scotty K with the Killers, Cults, and Nut Jobs podcast. Diane Student with History Goes Bump. Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Amber Scoville, Jahara, of course, Dr. Jeff and his lovely wife, Dawn, Andrew Happ, who we mentioned, Holly Woodward, Thank you very much, Holly. Shirley Strapp, thank you for joining us on Patreon, Shirley, as well as Todd Long. Thank you, Todd. Lydia Fisher and her sister, Ruth. Jennifer W., thank you very much, Jennifer. Tyrone, thank you, Tyrone. Phyllis Munson, Sarah Morgan, Melissa Montoya, Brittany Martin, Joe Hopkins with the Now American History Podcast. He had his first podcast last week, and it was great. Thank you, Joe, and we look forward to hearing many more. Mandy Swanson, Jennifer Siemens and her mother, Linda, Cindy Liu, Heather Poole, Charlie and Allie from the Insight Podcast, Christine Hauer and her cat, Jeffrey the Wonder Cat, Colonel. And
Rudy the Wonder Dog would be... Rudy the Wonder Dog likes cats, actually. He likes to chase and run, and sometimes the cats chase him.
We've got Jeffrey the Wonder Cat is now a sponsor, as well as Cheryl Weldon. So thank you all very, very much. We appreciate your support. And again, if you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs.
And it was very kind of you to all react
I posted that as a way of explanation. I wasn't doing it as for a fundraising or anything like that, but you all are very sweet to respond that way, and we really appreciate it. Okay, so we're going to talk about the execution of, what did we decide it was, Eva? Eva Dugan.
EVA is, it's pretty
Eva.
Much
are. You say Eva? I say Eva.
It's pretty Should much not. A consensus that it's Eva.
Okay.
Eva Braun.
Like an Eva Braun, exactly. Okay, so Eva was convicted of murder in 1930. You remember that year, Brandy?
I don't know why I would.
Eva Marie Dugan became the first woman to be legally executed in the state of Arizona, maybe somewhere illegally executed, Colonel. Yeah. But she was the first to be legally executed in the state of Arizona, and the only woman ever to be hanged in Arizona. And once we get through the script, you'll know why. Because it didn't go well, Colonel.
Didn't go. Hangings rarely turn out well for the person at the end of the rope. Yeah.
Eva Marie.
God damn it, Eva.
Eva. Yeah. We said Eva.
No.
We said Eva. God damn it.
All right, Eva. Eva Marie McDaniel was born in San Francisco, one of my favorite cities. You know who's from San Francisco is?
Your mom.
I know Tony Stephanie Bennett Quick. Left his heart there.
Yeah, Stephanie Quick lives out in the Bay
Area. Is 751 a good credit score?
Yeah, it's almost 800. Not okay. As good as mine, but it's do what you can do. Why, you can't get a room?
Huh?
Can't get a room?
No, I just got I'm checking my email and my Credit Karma thing said my credit score is 751.
Could be better. It could be better, but.
Yeah. Renee's is better than mine.
Well.
Renee has all the money.
Rudy's is probably better.
Yeah, Rudy's is better than mine. Yeah, that's true.
Eva Marie.
He's a little braggy.
Eva Marie McDaniel was born in San Francisco on June the 8th, Colonel.
June the 8th?
1878.
Ooh, her mama and dad were it looks like they had a Thanksgiving tryst.
Yeah, she was born into a very poor family. Her parents...
So they had crackers at Thanksgiving.
Eva's parents were good people, but could barely afford to feed her. Her father worked on the docks in the San Francisco Bay, but was often
Isn't
out...
Isn't that a song?
No.
Don't sing. But he was often out of... He was often out of work.
Living on a prayer.
Her mother's name was Penelope.
When the lights go down the city on by the bay.
Yeah,
Journey. Yeah. Yeah.
They play
when
that
the
at
lights.
Nope. No. Don't. Please. Her mother's name was Penelope.
I like that name.
And that's my other niece's name.
Yeah, you don't see that
it's
name.
It's a Christmas miracle.
You don't see that name used much anymore.
I love little Penelope.
Her mother's name was Penelope. Was a seamstress, not a semester, as I have written here.
You know, he can say Penelope, but he can't quite get out Eva.
Yeah.
She was a seamstress who worked 80 hours a week in a sweatshop. So
yeah,
that's kind of sucked.
So do little kids in Korea.
Penelope was a sickly woman.
Aww.
And she died of tuberculosis when Eva was 9 years old.
Oh, she got the consumption.
She got the consumption, Timmy.
Yeah, she did. She probably working in that factory. Probably working in that factory.
No, consumption is just a contagion bacterial thing.
Eva dropped out of school at the age of 9.
Goodness.
And
are you allowed to do that?
She must have been a smart kid.
No, she dropped out at the age of 9 to help with chores at home. She took a part-time job because, you know, there was no child labor laws back then. She took a part-time job as a seamstress herself at age 12.
Oh.
Well, what the fuck was she doing for those 3 years? Just slacking?
You know how kids are.
Yeah, 9 to 12. She was just like
playing Nintendo.
Traveling Europe. What was she
PlayStation,
doing?
PlayStation, yeah. You know, Halo or something. Yeah.
Lazy little kids.
I'm sure she was helping out around the house. Her dad was unemployed a lot. She was doing things. Busy lady. Ava somehow managed to survive a hard-scrabbled childhood. How do you like that, Brandy? Hard-scrabbled.
It's wonderful.
To become an adult with very few skills and even fewer expectations.
There you go.
Who's that remind you of, Timmy?
Our good friend here, Colonel. Yeah.
Really?
Low expectations?
I do have low expectations, yes. You fuckers. Yeah. I don't expect shit.
Okay. So, anyway, in photographs...
And memories, Christmas called you.
Eva seemed to always have a tentative expression on her face, as if she was waiting for the other shoe to drop. Brandy.
Well, yeah.
And it usually, did.
Did she even have shoes? Was it so hard scrabble that she didn't have shoes?
No, she had a rough childhood. Poor Eva. She bore. Oh, wait a minute. She got married before she had children. She married Albert Dugan.
How old was she?
She was 16, and she married Albert when I think he was 43.
Gross.
In 1894.
She was how old?
16.
That's like the script from yesterday that you fucked up. But
yeah, we're going to have to redo that story because I like that story.
No, that's the worst story we ever did.
No, the Wesley Dodd, the child killer, was the worst one we've ever done.
Jonas,
that was fate.
Jonas Salk was the best one we ever did.
I was thinking that today, yesterday. When
Jonas Salk?
Yeah. When he wrote the script that he was going to write for Jonas Salk, remember?
Right.
And we come in and we're getting ready to do the podcast, and he says, yeah, Jonas Salk, he developed the vaccine for...
He popped out. He's a cross-dresser or something.
He was a cross-dresser.
No, he made it up. But yeah. the only reason why he wanted to do it was to say that he did not benefit financially from his vaccine.
Right.
But he had nothing else. No dates, nothing about his history.
I had all kinds of stuff.
You did not.
He tested it out on
and
a...
That's
on
why a... you're not allowed to do scripts. You're not allowed to write scripts. You write one thing. You write one point. The podcast has to last an hour.
I'm like... it's like on those TV shows. You know how the actors want to start directing?
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to stick with
and
whatever
they shouldn't.
You're not even good at what you do. Don't try to.
Damn.
I want an executive producer credit on these things from now on.
You got it.
Yeah. All right. Back to the story. Shall we get back to the story? Anyway.
I wish you would.
I wish it was a story to
Eva
tell.
Got married to Albert Dugan in 1894. That was before
Albert.
The turn of the century, Brandy.
Thank you.
She bore Albert 2 children, a daughter, Cecile, in 1895, and a son, Jacob, in 1896.
Ooh,
the marriage.
You were tearing that thing up.
The marriage, Brandy, was a rocky one.
Get out.
Albert was.
Because so many marriages between a 16-year-old and a 40-something-year-old work out really well.
Well, yeah, usually they do, but in this case it didn't.
Do they? Do they usually?
I wonder if he taught her how to drive and. Took her to prom.
I don't think there were cars. Well, they might have been. 1896. They've brought maybe a horseless carriage or something.
Oh, my God. I am so tired of these kids. Ugh.
You know. She was probably mature.
Can I just go down to the mall already, please? Oh, my God.
The marriage was a rocky one, Brandy.
I hate you.
Albert was an abusive alcoholic.
They always are. Whenever the old men marry the young girls, the drunks, why are they abusive and alcoholics? He's 43 years old. When he's 45, he's got really an adult the prettiest thing he's ever going to touch in his whole life. What the hell's he got to get drunk and mean about?
He's got like three kids now. He's got his wife and two other ones.
Yeah, but he ain't raising them. Fuck, I ain't even got a job. I mean,
he was abusive.
He didn't have a job.
He was an abusive alcoholic and used to beat her in front of her children.
That's not cool.
No, that's not cool at all.
Not cool at all. He would demand that Eva would give him money she made as a housekeeper so he could buy alcohol.
Yeah, that seems legit.
Now, Eva had a plan. She secretly saved $200 and hid it in a cookie jar.
Ooh.
She wanted to use this money should there be an emergency with her children. So she was working hard, trying to sock back a few bucks, right? She hid the money because she was afraid that Albert would take it and use it to buy booze.
Because he would.
Yeah,
do you watch the show Shameless?
No, but does it have anything to do with this podcast?
Yeah, it's Frank Gallagher. And most of our listeners, if anybody listens, most of our listeners are Frank Gallagher. But go ahead.
Thank you, Colonel. So anyway, back to where it must
be. Back to the story, Timmy.
Thank you. On December 22nd, 1896, picture it, Brandy, San Francisco, right before Christmas.
Sicily, all
right. Right before Christmas, 1896, which is also before the turn of the century.
I'm just going to sit here and take this all in, Timmy, if you don't mind.
Streetcars. Name Desire. Muddy streets. There's, people walking to and fro.
Are you setting up a Jack the Ripper scene? What are you
doing?
Wasn't
this when the, and didn't he stumble around the, she stumbled around that guy who was the king of San Francisco?
No, it was Emperor Norton.
Norton.
Yeah. And you, no. And she didn't see Oofty Goofty either.
You don't know.
Or Big Bertha.
You don't know. That was the same time frame.
On December 22nd, 1896, just 3 days before Christmas, Eva took out a few dollars from the cookie jar of her secret savings to buy her kids a gift for Christmas. Like a good mother, right?
I guess.
My mother never did it.
Well, when Albert found out about this, he threw a fit, and he demanded to know where she got the money from. He accused Eva of taking money from men, Brandy.
Well, sure. That's the logical conclusion.
Albert, he was very jealous, our Albert. Albert beat her relentlessly.
Relentlessly?
Yeah,
relentlessly.
There you go. In front of the children.
Yeah, and that's not cool at all.
Not cool at all. Finally, fearing for her life,
she killed him.
No, she gave him. She told him about her secret savings.
Ah, damn it!
She should have taken 100 or so out before she told him about the secret savings.
Well, she was getting beat at the time, so she probably couldn't call time out.
They needed to save for it for the cookie jar.
Albert then went to the cookie jar, took the remaining money, and left the house. Brandy, he never returned.
So she basically paid him to leave, and I think she got a good deal out of that.
A good deal, yeah.
Yeah, except she was now a single mother, two kids, and no way to really support him. Albert had abandoned Eva and her kids. Soon afterwards, she lost her job as a housekeeper when her employer died. This is kind of a sad tale so far. Unable to find a proper job, Eva turned to prostitution to make the ends meet.
Oh, that's sad, Timmy.
I know. Single mom. You know, you have to do what you have to do.
But, you know, we here on
She clearly didn't have anybody like you to support her.
Consider prostitution a noble profession.
It was prior to Backpage. I do. I know.
Sex workers are noble.
I have nothing against sex workers.
They are.
I don't have anything against them. I don't know if I would call it a noble profession.
As long as they are not forced into it, if it's of their own volition.
I don't know. I still don't know that it's a noble service.
If they're over 18 and they're doing it voluntarily and it's their choice, I say more power to them.
Yeah, if it's of their choice.
That doesn't make it a noble occupation.
It is a noble. There's a demand. There's supply. Which is the wiener.
Do you know what
There's
it means?
There's demand, which is
Wait
the vagina.
Minute. Do you know what
it's economics.
Noble,
simple economics.
Do you know what a noble profession is? Do you know what that means?
Yes, one
Clearly
that
you
serves
don't.
People. It's like they're penis doctors, in effect.
No.
Yes, they are.
I mean, it's as noble as anything.
Prostitutes
this is just as noble as
Well, no.
I mean this. To this day, prostitutes have saved more marriages than any counselors ever have.
That's an amazing statement.
Would you agree? Would you concur, Timmy?
I concur.
Yeah.
That's an amazing statement.
All right. Struggling to feed her children in San Francisco, Eva had heard of job opportunities in Alaska. This is right around the gold rush time. At age 19, she's still young. Mm-hmm. Eva and her children ended up in Juneau, Alaska, Brandy, after trekking
it's
north.
Cold. That's a long-ass walk.
Trekking north during the Klondike Gold Rush, where she became a cabaret singer and part-time prostitute.
Oh, she went part-time.
Yeah, well, she was singing. She had a dual career, Brandy.
Mm, clearly.
So
she
anyway.
She's a multifaceted girl.
She was. Eva struggled. She could sing and suck at the same time.
Wow.
It's hard.
It's her skills. Can you do that again, Colonel?
God, you know what? Suck ass.
It's hard to sing and give a blowjob at the same time, Brandy.
Okay.
Your comment on that?
I'll take your word for it.
Don't take my word for it. That's just
I clearly am.
I've read.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
She struggled, young Eva, to raise her children, taking any job she could possibly find. During her years in Alaska, she worked as a housekeeper, a babysitter, a nanny, which is kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Nanny. I think nannies live in a lot of times.
Okay. A bartender. What's an au pair?
Au pairs definitely live in.
Only the hotter. An au pair is a very
with big breasts. Au pair.
Oh, yeah.
Au pair.
Oh, what a pair. Oh, what a pair there. Yeah, that's I need to get an au pair for Rudy.
That's not it.
I'm looking for about a, well, I don't know, 29, 30-year-old. It could be of any creed, religion.
What are you talking about?
He's looking an au pair for Rudy.
Oh, breasts. You're looking for breasts?
Yeah.
He's always looking for breasts.
All right. So she worked as a bartender and also cleaning out horses' stables, which is kind of a crappy job.
That is a crappy job.
Because, you know, Colonel, horses have a big wang.
They do have big wangs.
So.
Really?
Oh, haven't you ever heard the thing, hung like a horse?
I have heard, yes.
I mean, you ever heard, like, hung like a ostrich? I mean, what the fuck's that mean? Because you don't know if ostrich. I'll tell you one thing, though, Timmy. This is interesting.
Sweet and geez. It's quick. I doubt if it is.
We're at the zoo, because we're going to the zoo Saturday, but we were at the zoo.
You're not, because it's going
to
rain.
Zebra comes walking over to the fence to Renee.
Uh-huh.
Renee's all excited.
Uh-huh.
So the
zebra unsheaths, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
It unsheaths. What color do you think this thing
I
was?
I don't know.
Black.
His thing was blacker than that coat on that door.
All right.
And I'll tell you, zebras got huge dicks on them, Timmy.
Okay.
I told Renee, I said, I think he likes you.
I'll take your word for it.
You know what's not a noble profession is goddamn podcasting with you.
Yeah, you make me feel dirty. Anyway.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I don't know what to
you
say to that.
You travel to third world countries.
Yeah, so that should tell you something when you make him feel dirty.
Okay, so for most of her life, Eva would earn, at least in this time period, she would earn a living as a prostitute. That's where she, you know, that was her bread and butter, Randy.
Sure.
One of her customers beat her so severely that she was given the last rites by a local minister.
Holy shit. Jesus Christ.
And she would survive that, but she would have difficulty walking the rest of her life.
So that screwed up a dancing career.
She was, she was a dime dancer too. She was had been described as beautiful, and she had a cheerful personality that men seemed to like. She made friends easily and was always willing to share whatever she had with others. So she was a very generous person.
See, people are dicks.
Her youngest child, remember, she had two kids there, mm-hmm. Brandy. Her youngest child,
yes.
Jacob. Died of typhoid in 1902.
Oh, not the typhoid. That's a tough one, man. That's a tough way to go.
Now, at the time, Eva was so poor that she could not even afford to buy her son a coffin.
Aww.
The local church donated the money for the burial on the condition that Eva would promise never to sell herself again.
You should see some pictures of this woman.
Eva agreed to this condition, and she remained true to her vow, and never again would she sell herself
Yeah, I guess this was not an attractive woman.
She was handsome.
Well, was she?
You couldn't pay me to bang her.
Look, if you were in Alaska and you know,
10 to 1.
What?
10 to 1 is the ratio of men to women.
Well, no. Okay, I'm looking at a picture of when she right before.
Well, you
she
didn't
got
see
executed.
Her at 19. That picture was she was much older.
I don't think so. I think that's what when she was 19.
No, she was a handsome woman.
Mm. I don't believe so.
Anyway, the local minister there said the church would pay for Jacob's funeral.
So they blackmailed her.
If on the condition that she would give up prostitution, but she was true to her word. She's in a tight spot, and she remained true to her word for the rest of her life. She never again sold herself. So that's good.
That's bullshit.
quit showing me pictures. She never quite got over.
What is that?
Come on, people can't see.
Jess Dugan, I don't know who the person is. They put a poster picture up.
They have boobies. I think that's a boy.
Okay, this is a podcast. We don't have a YouTube channel.
Why the fuck are you looking at me? He's the
because
one
you're
the
talking
pictures.
About a picture. Then people who are listening have no idea what we're talking about.
paint a picture for him. To
he's
Bob
showing
Ross.
The picture.
He's showing.
I'm looking for a picture.
He's showing it to me and you. Our listeners cannot see that.
This is why people.
This is
turn
podcasting.
In Alaska,
if we had a YouTube video, then we could share pictures. But we don't
I
have
think
one.
We're going to share on YouTube. I'm going to tell your listeners: Google Eva Dugan images. And it will make it'll cause your pecker to turtle itself.
Well, thank you, Colonel. That's very insightful. You always you always contribute something to the podcast.
Well, she calls pecker turtling. That's all.
All
I'm
right,
saying.
But she was a handsome woman at the
you're
time.
A pecker
no,
turtle.
She wasn't.
All right, let's get
you're
back
a pecker
back
turtle.
To the story, Timmy.
Back to thank you, Colonel. So she agrees not to sell herself in exchange for the church helping her bury her son. She never quite got over the loss of her son. And would bake him a birthday cake in his memory every year.
That's a waste.
Yeah, sad, isn't it?
Did she eat the cake?
No, she ate the cake. It was symbolic, you asshole.
Well, I mean, if you're going to bake the cake, you got to eat the cake. You can't just
well, she probably did.
He probably didn't even have a grave. Probably didn't even have a headstone.
No.
Unless the church said, we'll throw one in if you don't give the occasional right. blowjob.
Whatever you do, do not let me be buried in a white coffin. I do not like white coffins.
Okay.
Thank you.
Why do you have an opinion on that?
I was going to build your coffin in my garage, Timmy.
Don't make it white, goddammit.
You know, I've seen people have like purple coffins and pink coffins.
You want
purple? No, I want a nice brown or black coffin. I don't want white.
I was going to do pine, Timmy.
No. Pine. I like pine. Pine is good.
Because pine rots quickly.
That's fine.
And then the worms get to you real quick
that's fine.
And you're gone.
That's fine. Just no white coffin.
And then nobody can come and steal
why
your body
you
and violate
you.
I
have an opinion on that.
I was thinking about it the other day. All right, so.
Of course you were. Was it yesterday?
I think happy
you,
thoughts.
Wait, was it yesterday after you fucked up the podcast?
I was so mad. I was home. I was stressed out over the podcast because we're getting a lot of new listeners because I had that excellent interview on the podcast we listened to.
Emmy winning. Emmy nominated.
Yeah.
For sure.
And plus our new friends with They Walk Among Us. They retweeted our podcast and and our new friends at Slaughter. So we got a lot of new friends and, you know, bringing in new people to the group. And I wanted this next podcast to be really good. And I was so frustrated that when the thing screwed up, I took Xanax and I took Tylenol PM like at 7 o'clock last night.
It's kind of like when your grandma has 3 weeks to live and she comes to your baseball game and you strike out 3 times.
Oh, it was. I know. It was. I was so. You know, I'm thinking all
these.
The
last thing you did for
we got all these new listeners and they're going to walk away because, you know, 18 minutes into the podcast, it stops for an hour and then it picks up with, you know,
well, wait a
Chuck's
minute.
Shout outs at the end.
Right. Well, first of all.
Kind of skip over your
if
whole
you
part.
You thought that one yesterday was the one that was going to keep us listeners. Like,
oh, come on,
we
was a
need
story.
To
you thought that was the hook?
We're going to do it. We're going to do that story again. Back to Eva.
I'd rather do olive oil.
Back to Eva.
Literally.
We're doing Olive Thomas again.
I'd rather
right.
bang olive oil, but go
Let's,
ahead.
Let's go back to Eva. Despite working several jobs to make ends meet, All right, anyway, back to her son dies, makes a cake, sad, sad story, yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada. Oh, no. We're painting a picture.
Yeah, Timmy. Now, these scripts are researched in the fine works of art. These fucking things are literature, Timmy. Come on, goddammit.
Come on, Bob
Faulkner.
Ross. Paint us a picture. All right.
So, don't yada, yada, yada script, goddammit.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, her son dies. She makes him a birthday cake every year. Sad, sad, you know, heartbreaking.
But you don't know what she did with the cake.
I'm guessing she ate it. Yeah. I don't know. Would you really have to put... do you really have to put candles on the case if you're baking it for a dead kid?
I don't know.
Well, how many candles would you put on, like the time
he died
or the time he
would
be?
That's what I mean. It would stop, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question. Can you Google that?
Nope.
Write that down.
I got it right here.
I'm not going to Google it. I'm not going to write it down.
Anyway, so no kidding. When her son died, it left she had a hard time getting over the loss of her son, and that left her with just her daughter, Cecile, to raise. Despite working several jobs to make ends meet, she would always find time to be home at night to help Margaret with her homework. Cecile. With her homework. I'm sorry. Cecile was a bright student and received almost perfect grades. Cecile had a talent for music and performed for the school and church choirs. So her daughter's talented. By her early teens, it was clear that Eva, who had, remember, she dropped out of school at age 9,
right,
could no longer help her daughter with schoolwork. So her daughter is surpassing her in terms of book smarts.
Much like what I've done with Chuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was around this time.
I didn't have to blow anybody to get money.
Whatever.
Done nothing in here. I don't know.
Every episode,
I know,
we worked that in.
I wish you wouldn't.
Her econ professor?
Yeah.
C+.
Sordid affair.
C+? Mm-hmm. Really? Can't pass the bar?
And apparently she had more than one class with the guy.
Yeah.
So it was like three bells a day.
Yeah.
Three bells.
Did you ever get sore or tired or what?
I think he gave grades based upon bra size.
Did he?
Yeah.
You would have got a, well.
So anyway, back to our story. So her daughter doing well in school.
Yada, yada.
Cecile's teacher helped her get a scholarship.
Ooh. I wonder
and,
if she slept with the teacher.
No, she was a bright student.
No, but her mom did.
And she was, remember, she was bright and she had this music talent at music. And she helped her get a scholarship to attend a top girls' school in New York City.
New York City?
Yes. But Eva was torn. She didn't want her now 13-year-old daughter to move away.
13?
Yeah, she aged.
13 and she's going to a college already?
It's a prep school, I think.
Oh, okay.
But she also wanted her daughter to have a great education.
She's
she's torn. You know.
Doogie Doogan.
Reluctantly, Eva agreed to let Cecile move to attend school on the East Coast. So she's now alone in Alaska, continuing to work odd jobs and sending most of her meager earnings to her daughter in New York. In the early 1920s, Eva's health started to decline. She had never completely recovered from the attack she endured by her John. Remember when the guy beat her up?
I remember, yeah.
She suffered from chronic back pain, chronic neck pain. She didn't have the Percocets, apparently.
Didn't she have a pimp?
Hmm. She used a cane to steady her walk, so she walked with a gait.
We all walk with a gait.
And
be awkward.
What she wasn't aware of is at the time she had picked up syphilis.
How'd she not be aware of that? It could give you big canker sores.
Later on, it plays a role, but she wasn't
labia
aware.
Meniscus or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Right in the labia meniscus.
Yeah,
for fuck's sake.
You get
sake.
Sores on your labia meniscus.
Yeah, can you draw a diagram for our listeners of the vagina? She also was suffering from severe respiratory problems.
Nope, that's wrong. It doesn't have a clown face either. Nope. What vagina are you looking at?
Is it smiling? Okay, back to the story. She was suffering from
amazing
severe respiratory problems.
It's like Robert Maple.
Yeah, kind of looks like a vagina
over there.
Yeah, kind of looks. You got to admit, it looks like a vagina.
It looks like the Eye of Sauron.
Anyway, Eva was suffering from severe respiratory problems, the result of years of smoking, which is why you got to stop smoking, Brandy.
I'm going to need you to crawl out of my ass. How about that?
She was also suffering from the effects of syphilis, which I mentioned, a disease that she attained years before when she worked as a prostitute. She also suffered from depression and uncontrollable anxiety.
Much like who?
Let's see. She's got the clap. She's depressed. And
She's like, it's like your twin.
What happens next there, Brandy?
So
please tell us.
This sad little lady, now growing old, alone, and in poor physical and mental health, Eva sought a warmer client and was offered a job in sunny Arizona as a housekeeper. By January of 1927, Eva was in her early 50s and working in Arizona as a housekeeper for Mr. Andrew J. Mathis, a wealthy, reclusive rancher. Mathis was demanding, cranky, and cheap.
Well, that doesn't sound like he's a very nice person. He was reclusive?
Cranky, cheap, demanding. It's Chuck.
She was working for Chuck.
That's right.
He's still drawing vaginas.
Yeah, I know. Not well, either.
I don't think he's ever seen one.
I don't think he's ever seen a vagina, either. That looks like something. If I told Noah to draw a vagina.
You're a five-year-old.
Yeah, I think that's what he would draw.
I think Noah probably have a better grasp of anatomy than Chuck. I've never seen little triangles in the vagina before.
And Tim knows his way around a vagina.
Oh, I know vaginas.
Tim's a vagina connoisseur.
Asian vaginas.
Here's a regular vagina. That's the Asian.
No, that's racist. That's awful.
Okay, I'm going to need you to
shut
smaller.
Up.
Yeah, apologies to our
Asian smaller. They're smaller Asian people.
Listener. Come on, that's not nice. That's a racist thing to say.
Asian people are smaller.
Not necessarily, and just drop it.
Oh, no, we got to go back.
There is no good ending to this without you going on Al Sharpton's show and apologizing.
Okay.
So, Brandy, please
Thank
continue.
You. Al Sharpton's show? Does Al Sharpton have a show?
I think so. Because
I'd like to go on there.
MSNBC, I think. We're going to have to suspend him for five podcasts.
Okay.
We'll have a vote on our
I think actually what we should
do. Remember when, what's his name, went on Saturday Night Live? The comedian.
Man
on the Moon.
Andy Kaufman.
He went on Saturday Night Live and they took a vote whether he should be voted off the show or not, and he lost like by 82% or something. We're going to have a vote to see if the Colonel gets voted off the podcast.
My faith.
Let's banish him to wherever Fox News banished that Tommy chick.
Okay.
They can go hang out.
I'm going to go hang out with Kellyanne Conway. ain't nobody seen her lately.
Because I tell you what, one podcast you're not going to get on is Insight. Because we tried to trade you for Allie.
Well,
and Charlie laughed.
Allie doesn't even speak American. I don't even know how to. She got that funny accent. How are you going to put Allie on
Let's
a show?
Let's not. A funny accent? Let's not.
She got a script.
All right. Your apology tour is going to get longer and longer.
Well, Mr. Sharpton.
Wait a minute. He's sitting there talking.
Mr. Sharpton.
He's talking about somebody else having a funny accent. For real. He has the accent of a big chicken.
You know, I will have you know, I speak the Queen's English.
No, Tim evidently
from 200
speaks
years
that,
ago.
That where they used to call wheels wells.
Let's continue with the story.
Mathis and Eva butted heads frequently during the 2 months that she was in his employ. Mathis even accused Eva of trying to poison him. Well, if you're a dick, then you have those issues. An acquaintance of Mathis's said that he had been present when the man had finally given Eva her walking papers. Mathis
Ooh,
had told
papers.
Her in no uncertain terms to leave the ranch and never return.
Aww.
A few days after his friend had overheard him banishing Eva from the ranch forever, a group of Mathis's neighbors reported him missing. Mm. The neighbor had become suspicious when Eva offered to sell him some of Mathis's livestock. You can't do that.
You can't sell another man's bull.
It raises suspicions.
Yes. She claimed that Mathis had departed for California and had turned all of his property over to her. A notorious tightwad, Mathis wasn't a man who would have willingly turned over his property to a woman who'd only worked for him for a couple of months. Not long after Mathis went missing, Eva also vanished. A search of the ranch by local authorities didn't turn up a body, but they did find some troubling clues.
What were they, Brandy?
An ear trumpet.
An ear trumpet, you say? Eh? 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 You know that podcast we did yesterday? Someone would need an ear trumpet to hear you talk because you were sound like you were like in the next room.
As opposed to your normal bellowing.
Yeah. You usually bellow quite well.
You know, bellow.
You're a bellow fellow.
Yeah.
You're a bellow
good
fellow.
Compare that to his caterwauling.
Caterwauling?
Little Bee Gees, Colonel.
No.
It's only
that's caterwauling.
It was all I
you know who likes your accent is Rosanna from the They Walk Among Us podcast.
Rosanna's a woman of distinction and fine
taste. No, I think that she just...
And what's that song?
She needs to be exposed to more
accents.
All I want to
do when I wake up in the morning is see your eyes, Rosanna.
Is that Toto? Rosanna.
Toto, yes, Toto did do it.
They did it much better.
Oh, my God.
All right, Colonel. Okay, come on. We don't want to lose any more.
His ear trumpet is there.
His ear trumpet. Man, I wish I had an ear trumpet.
They found it in a small stove in the
panty dropper
of the ranch.
It's a ear trumpet. It's our panty dropper. You got to admit that, Brandy. You get a little queasy.
I do.
A little weak in the knees.
A little weak in the knees. All right, so... God, it's like talking to my husband.
You know,
now.
If you had two, it'd be in stereo.
You'd true. Also look like a bull. All right.
You put a marble in them, let them roll down in them, and it really fucks them up. They can't hear shit then.
Carelessly discarded clothing and bits of automobile equipment covered a blood-stained cover for a roadster. Gave the cops little hope that the rancher would be found alive.
Okay.
So we got a missing rancher
police?
Here?
Yes. We have a missing rancher.
Police was baffled.
And before she came along, he was happy. He was a jolly rancher.
He was a deaf jolly rancher.
So hold on. What was the last sentence?
Police was baffled.
Police was baffled. They were beside themselves. Well, you show up, you got an ear trumpet, you got blood, and you got a missing rancher, missing jolly
There's
rancher.
There's no sign of Andrew Mathis, his automobile, or his housekeeper, Eva.
Oh.
With no other clues to go on, the police started looking for the 50-year-old Eva Dugan.
Right.
Eva Dugan.
Eva?
Eh?
Whatever.
Eh?
What did you say?
It was months before Eva was
Are
finally discovered living in White Plains, New York. What?
Are you thief?
Now, you know that was some of Timmy's hillbilly-ass relatives is where he learned that shit.
Dude, I had an uncle. I love my Uncle Dave. But the guy, he'd have selective hearing.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if you say, oh, it's about supper time or something, he would, like, be all over it. But, you know, if you ask him, like, man, you got any money I can borrow? I think it's supposed to rain this afternoon.
My stepdad was partially deaf, and it was hysterical because my mom would say something to him, and he would misunderstand what she said, so he would react to that in an answer, and she would not correct the thing. Mm-hmm. It was like this free association thing where she would just react to what he said. And it's like, hey, Do you want to go to Frisch's to eat? It's supposed to be raining tomorrow. It's not supposed to be raining tomorrow. I checked the weather. It's supposed to be sunny.
I don't. We have to take that car in to be checked.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was these surreal things that you had to be on LSD to understand.
My dad was in the Air Force. He was a mechanic or something. And he's deaf as a post. But, of course, you know, Dad, if you had your hearing checked, you know, I went to the VA. They checked my hearing. They said my hearing's fine. Did the VA really say your hearing was fine, Dad? What?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, what?
What?
What'd you say? Shot who? That was always a big one for him. Yeah. Shot who?
He needs an ear trumpet.
Ear trumpet.
Let's get him an ear trumpet.
I tried.
Let's pitch in.
He'll love that.
We'll get a GoFundMe page for an ear trumpet
for
your dad.
So Eva was finally discovered living in White Plains, New York. She'd moved there to be closer to her daughter, who now had a successful career as a musician.
Oh, Cecile. That's uh-huh. great.
The police went to question Eva, they found her former employer's car parked nearby.
No, that doesn't look good.
No, none of it does. Eva was arrested and returned to Arizona to face auto theft charges. Not being able to afford an attorney, Eva quickly became convicted. Was quickly convicted. Whatever.
She was a woman of conviction.
She was.
Yeah. So she's 50 years old at this point.
Yes. And Eva.
Never was in any trouble, but now
I know, because we've been through almost her whole story.
She's now in the joint.
Yeah. Eva, who claimed that she had been
working. In the pokey, eh?
She should have took the ear trumpet. A lot of slammer. People use them for sexual pleasure, Kurt.
A lot of people do?
Well, maybe somebody did.
It would be cool to be able to play the trumpet with your hoo-ha.
That would be cool.
Eva.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Louis Lipstrong.
Yo, you have to have really good lip control to be able to play a harmonica. I saw where a woman played with a vagina.
Harmonica with a cooch, yeah. Oh, that's
talent.
That is talent. America's, was she America's
no,
Got
but
Talent?
She should have been.
She should have been, yeah.
I saw a girl on America's Got Talent. No, when America's Got Talent, I don't know, Kosovo has talent or something. She played the piano with her toes.
Really?
I seen.
That's not hard. That's not easy to do.
Yeah, and sang.
I seen somebody play beer pong with their vagina.
Okay. They win?
Yeah. She could pop a ping pong ball out of there.
In Thailand, they have ping pong shows. And they also shoot darts out of the vagina. they'll shoot darts out and pop balloons. It's weird as hell.
Now, that's crazy.
It is.
Do the feathers get caught?
I don't know. But they also put, like, razor blades inside of them. Oh, yeah. It's a thing.
It's like that post the other day. I told you, vaginas have teeth. Somebody ran across a...
Under 1%.
Vagina's dentatitis.
It's under 1%, I think.
Under 1%.
Yeah. Continue, Brandy.
So you were talking... We didn't hear you, Brandy. Come on.
Eva.
She gets frustrated easy.
Eva claims
really, to being on a comedy podcast, you get frustrated a lot.
Well, she can't seem to stay on task, Jimmy.
She can't. She's all over the place.
Yeah.
That's why they write the scripts. I hope you give her something to follow.
You try to paint a picture for the girl, and even if you do colored by numbers, she can't get it right, Jimmy.
I know. Really needs to, like, go to podcasting school or something.
Is there a podcast?
If there is, I'm signing her up because she can't follow a script. That's why I write scripts. Remember, we started this; we didn't even have scripts.
No, we did. Columbia and Podcasting School.
It was just, you know, we just did it, you know, off the top of our heads. But I can't depend on her.
No, that's why we had to have scripts, and now she can't even follow those. So continue, Devil.
Yeah. Please read what's on that piece of paper in front of you.
And are you sure that's what you want me to do?
And try to bring it to life. Could you?
Yeah. I mean, a little energy into it.
It feels like you're mailing this one in. You
police was baffled.
They were baffled. Right.
No, they weren't. Were baffled. They was baffled.
Okay. All right.
All right. So she claims that she'd been working for Mr. Mathis when he went away overnight and never returned.
Okay, that sounds like a reasonable explanation.
She claimed that she reported Mr. Mathis' disappearance to the local police, but they refused to file a report claiming he was a grown-ass man. Eva claimed...
I believe she deviated from the script.
Eva claimed...
No, I think actually she said that.
Okay.
I think they told her... Well, see, they told her he was a grown man, and he could do whatever he wanted, and they weren't going to go around chasing him.
Yeah, clearly, yes.
Yeah.
Eva claimed she waited several weeks for his return, but low on funds and food, she finally had to leave.
Well, she can't stay there forever.
She tried to file a second report, but again, the police turned her away. She took the car only after Andrew Mathis had been gone for several weeks. She drove cross-country to New York to be closer to her daughter. The judge called bullshit and sentenced her to 3 to 6 years in the Arizona State Penitentiary. Eva, now sick and old, cried every night in her cell for the first several weeks. But slowly, she began to adjust to life inside of prison. Well, what's not to love? She's got a place to stay. She's got food.
I mean, this is a woman that's never been in trouble before. So, you know,
whatever.
50 years old and you end up in the joint. It's not like you and your softball. You're used to lesbianism and stuff like that, right, Colonel?
Yeah, I mean, you do get used to it, I suppose, after a while. You tell us, Devil. I don't know. I never did the lesbian thing before. Is it something that...
You never done the lesbian thing before? No. I'm shocked. Can you tell me more about how you've never been a lesbian?
Well, I mean, you have.
What?
You have?
No.
You was on a softball team.
Have you never experimented?
No, I'm not. No.
Really?
No.
Come on. She played softball.
Like kissing or something.
No. Leave me alone.
Pillow fights.
No. Yeah.
Pillow fights.
Rubbing your breasts against each other.
Yeah, taking a shower and shampooing each other's hair.
No.
Doing each other's fingernails.
Doing each other's fingernails?
Mm-hmm.
Have you done it for each other? Because that counts as lesbian.
No,
lesbian.
I have a lady that does my fingernails.
All right. So you're having a lesbian encounter every few weeks then.
Yeah.
Okay.
She makes an appointment. It's prostitution.
Yeah, it is.
It's walk-in.
It's lesbian prostitution. It's walk-in.
Oh, it's walk-in.
Oh, you got one of those cheap ones.
All right.
Yeah. All right, so nearly a year after Mathis had disappeared, a camper on the property near the ranch noticed an odd depression in the soil.
Hmm.
The camper scraped away some of the topsoil, and after a minimum of digging, he unearthed the skeleton of a man. Tattered clothing and hair on the skull indicated that the body discovered in the shallow grave was that of A.J. Mathis.
Okay, so they got a body now.
Yes.
Okay.
I think I said that. I read what you wrote.
Thank you.
Once Mathis's body had been found, Eva had some explaining to do.
However, you got some explaining to do, Eva.
Lucy.
However, she denied having anything to do with his death. Okay. She told cops that if she had been responsible for his death and subsequent burial, she'd have buried him deep enough he'd have never been found.
Well, you got to remember, she was also physical wreck at this point, too.
Right.
So.
Far from convincing, her denial sounded more like a woman trying to extricate herself from a capital murder charge than one proclaiming her innocence. Eva finally settled on a story and stuck with it. She alleged that she met a young man named Jack outside of a local restaurant.
Handsome Jack.
The two started a conversation, and Eva told him that he could get a job on Mathis's ranch. Jack went directly to the ranch, where he was employed on the spot.
Oh.
Unfortunately, his first day on the job didn't quite turn out the way he had planned. Maybe things would have been different if Jack had known how to handle the basics. Mathis took umbrage when Jack failed to milk a cow as he'd been directed.
Well, you got to know how to milk a cow. The Colonel has a lot of experience with milking cows. How do you do it, Colonel?
You got to get under that Timmy, and you got to have the hands warm.
Yeah,
I've got nipples, Greg. Can you milk me?
So you grab the udder.
You grab the tweet, Timmy.
No, that's a whole different thing. That's a different kind of milking.
And it's all in the. You start it with your baby finger and you work your way up.
Ah, I see.
It's you treat like a massage.
Like a gentle lover.
You're massaging the teeth, Dad, to me. Okay. And then
I wish the listeners could see you in your head movements right now.
This like is a podcast.
He's really
you can't see anything.
He's really
you're talking
into
about
look
how you're listening.
Look at him.
No, but I mean,
I can't.
You gotta make the cow look forward to being milked.
Yeah, I see, Colonel.
You know, because if you just go in there and start, it's
you just don't want to be grabbing them. That's rude.
No, I mean you rub the udders and whatnot. You know, the big sack. You rub that for
you
a little bit.
You have multiple tweets.
It's like foreplay. There's only one tweet, cow, and then you just you massage the milk out. You don't just
one tweet. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're not trying to pull the teats off.
Outlets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how you get the good milk, too.
Or inlets, as the case may be.
Or whatever, but you got multiple nipples. That's that's impressive to have one breast with so many nipples, Colonel.
It is.
So Mathis complained, if you can't milk a cow, what the hell are you good for? He's got a point. And Mathis hit Jack. Decked him.
He hit him.
He decked him.
Handsome
young
Jack.
Man quickly recovered from the blow and hit Mathis back, who fell to the ground and didn't get up. Eva insisted that she and Jack had tried unsuccessfully to revive Mathis. She also claimed that she wanted to go for aid, but that Jack told her if she didn't help him get Mathis's body into the car so he could dispose of it, he'd leave her to face the music on her own.
Oh.
Eva's story had more than a few holes in it, and the biggest one being Jack.
Yeah, because they couldn't find this guy.
Not everyone was convinced that the young man had actually ever existed, because only one person was ever found who could corroborate Eva's statement.
Well, seems like one person would be enough.
Well, that she doesn't count. She can't corroborate her own statement. That's fucking stupid.
She was the only one who ever saw.
But she can't corroborate her own shit.
All right.
Just as Eva was being charged with AJ Mathis's murder, a young dark-haired young man was confessing to a grisly child murder.
I wanted to stress the fact that he was young.
Yes. To a grisly child murder in Los Angeles. The young man was the infamous slayer, Edward Hickman, a.k.a. The Fox.
The Fox.
Hickman had kidnapped, murdered, and dismembered 12-year-old Marion Parker. Arizona investigators began to suspect that Hickman had been Jack in Eva's story. Hickman insisted he'd been in Phoenix for a few days prior to Mathis's disappearance, and that he'd also been in Kansas City during the same time that Eva said she dropped Jack off in that city.
Dropped Jack off, Colonel.
On her way to New York. When Eva was shown photographs of Edward Hickman, she said she thought he and Jack were one and the same, but she wasn't absolutely certain. Even if Eva had been sure about the identity of Edward/Jack, L.A. cops were not about to allow anyone to interfere with the murder charges against him.
Yeah, it was a pretty famous murder.
Although Hickman was never charged in the Mathis case, the Fox was hanged for Marion Parker's murder on October 19, 1928.
Well, she's in quite the pickle now because she's the only one left.
Yes. Meanwhile, in a hasty trial, Eva was tried and convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to death. The only thing that could have saved her from execution would have been a successful insanity plea. Two doctors testified that her mental state had been compromised due to the inroads made by a disease she contracted more than 30 years ago.
The clap.
The
syphilis. Mm-hmm.
She was syphilitic.
Ooh,
despite the
syphilitic.
Medical.
Yeah.
Yowza.
Despite the medical testimony, a jury determined that Eva was indeed sane and plans for her execution continued.
Oh.
Because she had no wish to be buried in the prison cemetery, Eva made and sold embroidered items so that she would have enough money to pay for a proper burial. She also wired her father and asked him to send her $50 to help her pay for her funeral. As the date of her execution drew nearer, Eva asked the warden what she should wear to her hanging.
She actually made a lot of friends with the guards and the staff and the warden there. They liked her.
He advised her not to wear any of her best things. So the handmade, lovingly embroidered silk shroud she created for the occasion was set aside to be used later for her burial. It was during the long hours leading up to her hanging that Eva was visited by Mother Benton from the Union Rescue Mission in Los Angeles. Mother Benton believed that Eva's soul had been saved as a result of their prayers. Eva remained stoic as she walked to her place of execution. She even recited an ironic bit of poetry. "We came into this world all naked and bare. Where we're going, the Lord only knows where. If we're good fellows here, we'll be good fellows there."
She was a poet.
Well, and not a good one.
No, come on.
Really? Didn't even rhyme.
Come on. What happens next, Colonel?
Well, there was a big sensation here, Timmy, and it was created by Eva a short time before she was taken from the death cell when she voluntarily surrendered to her two women guards a safety razor blade and a small vial presumed to contain poison. Eva had planned to kill herself prior to her execution, well, depriving the state of its murder.
What do you think? Would if you had a death sentence? Look, if you were facing a death sentence, would you take your own life if you could?
If I had a razor blade, I would open up my wrist, Timmy.
Okay, well that's what she
before
was.
I was going to get hanged. Yeah. Her request that she be given something for her back pain had been denied by prison authorities. Now that just seems fucked up. You're going to hang somebody. You're going to make them feel a little bit good before you get there. Yeah. The assistant warden told her that she wouldn't have to worry about her pain much longer, Timmy.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
That sounds like a prick right there.
Brandy, is that the prick thing to say?
It would be kind of a dick move.
Yeah.
Maintaining her innocence until the end, Eva seemed to come to terms with her fate. She had made a great many friends in prisons with guards and inmates alike. Eva remained awake during all of her last night on Earth in company with the prison chaplain, and a few friends from the outside the prison, and another woman prisoner.
You think there's some...
I think there might have been a little lesbianism going on.
I don't think
on
so. She was already 50, Colonel.
Well, that's true. Yeah, so she could
have... Do women have sex after 50?
Hmm?
Do women have sex after 50?
10% of them do. 10%.
10%?
10% of them do, yeah.
you know, that's why we really can never suspend the Colonel Brandy, because he brings a lot of information and knowledge to our podcast that we would not normally have.
Yeah.
Huh.
We have a lot of women listeners, and they don't really know about women, so I have to explain women to them.
Yeah, they get confused.
Yeah, they.
You're going to have to post your picture of the vagina that you drew on, because it's quite the interesting work of art.
Mm-hmm. I think
you really you have you ever thought about, you know,
this should go in Grey's Anatomy, the book.
Have you ever thought about, you know, maybe starting your own studio, art studio, because that is that looks like a stick man's vagina.
No, it's a pretty accurate description, depiction. Only I don't know what that little nubby thing is at the top of the vagina. I don't know what they call that.
Yeah, okay. Well,
the little man in the boat?
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll have to post
really
a picture
sure
of that
is.
And post it on the page, because it's quite the work of art there.
So she was apparently unmindful of the death watch that paced. Apparently she was unmindful of the death watch
unmindful?
That paced firmly back and forth outside her cell, while the hands of the clock raced toward the fatal hour when she was to pay her debt to society. And that was beautiful to me. That moved me. That moved me right there.
Thank you, Colonel. That was a lot better than Olive Thomas.
It was a lot better than that fucking script yesterday, yeah. At Ms. Dugan's request, she and her guests were served some orange Kool-Aid.
Oh, she drank the Kool-Aid.
I like orange Kool-Aid myself.
I'm not a fan.
Well, it says orange drink, but I'm guessing Kool-Aid. What she really needed was the Kool-Aid guy to break through the wall and get out.
That would have been badass.
Yeah. If she could have said, I want some orange Kool-Aid, and he would come busting through the jail cell, and she'd have gone running.
Yeah.
Well, of course, she was crippled and shit, so she couldn't get away. So.
Yeah. She was pretty much fucked.
But there was no outburst of emotion from the doomed woman when Warden Wright and his assistants called her to the cell that morning, summoning her to begin the solemn death march. She lit a cigarette and inhaled deeply as she passed the corridor and joked with the guards as a
dead woman as the walking,
party
Brandy.
Near the execution chamber. It was a misty morning, and a light rain was falling in the bit of open courtyard through which she was led from her cell into the... I can picture it in my head here, Timmy. That was beautiful. Eva Dugan left instruction to send her trunk and a few personal belongings to a cousin at Western.
Her trunk, like her body, or her trunk?
Well,
like with for her clothes, belongings.
Her belongings.
Yeah. Now, among numerous telegrams and letters received by Ms. Dugan at the condemned cell was a telegram from her daughter, Miss Cecilia Lovelace. Who would later go on.
No. Don't.
Okay.
Don't.
Did she change her name to Linda?
No.
She was a New York magician.
Whatever.
Musician, yeah.
One of the street musicians?
The telegram dated. The telegram dated. South Bend, Indiana. Now, is that
that's a date?
Before or after January to me?
Come on.
What the fuck? It's dated South Bend, Indiana?
It was dated.
Stamped.
Okay.
Stamped South Bend, Indiana.
Well, those are like, that's not even a misspelling. I mean, those are different fucking words. Like, they're not even by each other. They're not even by each other in the dictionary.
It was Jesus dated Christ. South Bend.
Stamped, dated, whatever.
It said, my dear mother, be brave. God is with you. All my love, I shall pray for you. Now.
Best wishes.
Yeah. Best wishes. Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
Right. What is it fucked up? Facing the death penalty and your kid sends you a telegram.
Thoughts and prayers.
Right back soon.
Oh, that's right. You can't.
Yeah, never mind. She ate a dozen fried oysters and two boiled eggs for her last meal.
Ew.
Her order.
Ava
of,
or her daughter?
His,
be her, specific.
She did.
Okay, Ava.
Her Eva. Order of three T-bone steaks and two lamb chops for breakfast remained untouched.
Well, she probably had an appetite when she ordered it, but then when she got it, she realized that she was going to be hanged. And probably...
Like she didn't realize it before?
Well, I don't know.
You know, if I ever get to Destin, you know what I want for my last meal?
What?
A unicorn steak.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you
And I'm just going to sit there until they bring it to me. I'm going to be like, no, you promised me a last meal. Until you give me a unicorn steak, we got to stay here.
You get a Salisbury steak instead.
I could beat the system.
At best.
I believe I could beat the system. So anyway, she ate that. She didn't eat the three T-bone steaks. She wasn't a Fred Flintstone. The execution was big news in Arizona as Eve was about to become the only woman ever to be hanged in the state. The execution was witnessed by 100 people who crowded into a small chamber that was only fit for 50.
Eva apparently, so it was a big deal.
She was trying to appear in higher spirits than any member of the group. And she said, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm on my way.
I don't know where I'm going.
Two of the women
you're singing
in
now.
The party.
We got two.
But I sure know where I've been.
All right, that's enough.
What?
Enough of the singing.
Two of the women guards in the party left.
We're coming
her at
to the
door.
Climax here. Let's pay attention.
Yes. And this is important.
This is important.
She affectionately kissed them a last goodbye, slipping just a bit.
No. Stay with the script, Colonel.
I love everyone connected with this prison, she said. You have all been good to me, and I cannot blame you for what the law is going to do to me.
No, she really can't.
Now, at that moment, a rainbow over the Arizona desert sunset brought tears to her eyes.
I'm trying to paint a picture.
Oh, my God.
What happened next, Colonel?
But her stoic calm otherwise was undisturbed as... During the hour of that morning when she was led slowly up the steps to the end of the rope. Goddamn, how many steps were there? It was like this Easter march up the steps.
Or continue,
something.
Colonel.
When she walked firmly up the 13 iron steps to the death trap, she said her last farewell to the warden Wright, and in a few minutes, her life was a closed book. That's a beautiful metaphor there, Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel.
At 5 a.m. on February 21, 1930, wearing a homemade silk shroud, a composed Eva Dugan mounted.
She decided not to wear that.
She mounted the gallows.
She
mounted the gallows at the state prison in Florence, Arizona. The shroud was removed at the suggestion of the warden. As it turned out, it was fortunate that Eva took the warden's advice and didn't wear the handmade silk shroud to the hanging. On February 21, Eva Dugan was the first and last woman to be legally hanged in the state of Arizona. To quote one witness, Eva Dugan died like a man.
Yeah.
Given an opportunity to make a final statement As the black cap was adjusted, she merely shook her head to the negative.
Fuck off.
Yeah, that's what I'd be tempted to say.
Warden Wright clasped her hands and said, God bless you, Eva. Goodbye, Daddy Wright. I don't like that one.
Daddy.
Goodbye, Daddy Wright. I wonder what the warden was doing in those cells. Those were her last words. Now, the executioner here, he hadn't hung many people, and hanging people's a tricky business, Timmy. See, so he had a miscalculation.
Oh, this doesn't sound good.
And when she fell through the trap at the end of the rope, her neck was not broken.
Uh-oh. What happened?
But she did not dangle there, for she was decapitated.
Ugh. So Ava's head comes off.
Well, I believe her head probably stayed. Her body came off.
Okay.
Her death was instantaneous, for the rope, when it snapped at the end of the drop, severed her head from her body.
Ugh.
And her decapitated...
It was a ghastly sight.
It was... Her decapitated head, Timmy, rolled within a few feet of nearly the 100 witnesses, all of whom shat themselves and fled in terror.
So these witnesses are there, gathered to see this execution.
Yeah.
She gets hanged. Her head comes off and rolls up to the witnesses. And they take off.
Yeah. One person tried to kick it back over to the thing.
That's a ghastly sight, Brandy.
3 years after another...
Come on, that's not funny, Colonel.
Come on. You're gruesome ass... I mean, you go to see a woman hanged, but all of a sudden a head pops off and it terrifies you. I mean, what the fuck? It's like, oh, that's just too much.
Yeah, but it's rolling toward you. It would creep you out a little bit.
Well, I mean, that's the kind of chance you take when you go to an execution. If you're going to a firing squad, you can't get all pissed off if one of the bullets ricochet comes back and hits you.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, so.
So anyway, her head rolls off.
And like a soccer ball just came across the courtyard. And even the hangman walked over and was like, oh, my bad.
My bad, dog.
Picked up the head, put it in a garbage bag, and laid it with the body. While newspaper photographers were snapping pictures of the decapitated corpse.
Well, yeah.
Poor Ava.
Now, don't forget, Eva. She killed somebody here.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but go ahead.
Thanks in part to this ghastly scene, Arizona...
She was physically able to.
She killed him.
Oh, you don't know.
Arizona replaced the gallows with the... thanks in part to this ghastly scene, Arizona in 1934 replaced the gallows with the Western state's hot new technology, the gas chamber.
Yeah, so you
so
gas.
Dugan would be the last female client of the state. This hangman just fucked up bad. He was like, he's looking down at his piece of paper like, well, you know what? She told me she weighed 150 pounds.
I felt bad. You know, I felt bad because they screwed up the podcast yesterday.
Yeah. You didn't cause nobody's head to pop off.
That we know of.
Now, another woman, Ruth Judd, just narrowly missed Eva's fate.
Now, who is Ruth Judd?
She was Naomi Judd's great-great...
No, we did a podcast on her, remember, Ruth Judd?
We did 200 podcasts. How far?
she was a murderess, too.
I'm with you. I think she's related to Winona Judd.
Yeah.
No, she was not.
So, anyway, they switched to the gas chamber. She did have a better coffin than provided by the state for hanged murderers. By her sale of head beadwork and collected 50 cents apiece from each of the visitors in a condemned cell, Eva Dugan raised the money to purchase a more elaborate casket.
Good for her. I hope it wasn't white.
Well, had she known, she could have purchased a casket that was a foot shorter than she actually bought, but alone in his little cottage.
She needs like a bowling ball bag as well.
Yeah. Right. William McDaniels, her father, received news that his daughter had been hanged. He had given up hope that she would be saved from the gallows. He declared his grief uncontrollable. She was innocent of that crime. I don't believe she was innocent of that crime.
I think she was. I don't think she was physically able to kill anybody. I mean, she could barely
walk. I know somebody's going to read this or hear this and say, oh, what an insensitive bunch of pricks they are. But you know what?
Three horrible people.
three horrible people best avoided. But let's not forget, they was going to kill her one way or another.
Yeah, I don't think she. Yeah, but I don't think she was guilty. I think an innocent. Well, I don't.
She probably wasn't guilty.
She, an innocent woman, was hanged. Brandy, your final thoughts on Eva Dugan?
You know, she. Yeah, I got nothing.
Well, you're not emotionally invested in any of these podcasts.
It seems like you distance yourself from this podcast. I mean, you're not here.
Yeah. Devil.
I mean, you're just not, you know, the listeners.
You're not emotionally invested.
No.
In these stories.
It's kind of like.
How do you expect our listeners to be invested in these stories when you're not emotionally invested in them?
I mean, it's, you know, it's not like we're giving you grades or anything, you know.
Yeah.
But. I got nothing. Did you even listen to me and Timmy? I mean,
apparently she didn't.
I quit listening to you guys a while ago.
Did the thing about the sunset and her crying move you at all? No.
She's just heartless.
Is she? I mean, are you a person? Are you even a person? Or are you some kind
of
bot? Yeah. Do you have a soul? Have you sold your soul? No, she steals people's souls.
Are you about done?
Colonel, what's your final thoughts on the tragic life of one Eva Dugan?
Well, I think they need to train hangmen better, too.
Well, apparently.
Because, I mean, there's a whole physics thing
like
about.
Like the hangman from Shrek that took care of this lady.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, the rope used to stretch so much that the person's feet would hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it wouldn't stretch enough.
You always shat yourself.
You always shat yourself. Sometimes a poor bastard actually she was better off than one of those bastards that dangled for 25 minutes before they died.
Yeah, at least it was instantaneous.
You know, this
usually when you lose your head, it's pretty instantaneous.
It's pretty
instantaneous. They say sometimes you're alive for like 3 seconds or something.
Well, her last words went on. Her last words weren't on the gallows. It was when she was on the ground, and her last words were, "What the fuck? What the hell are you doing to my head?"
So they say, like at the guillotine, there's a few seconds there by the time that your head is cut off.
Because you don't have oxygen
brain activity
to the brain. And you know what? I wonder if they could get you. See, that would get your vocal cords, so you wouldn't be able to say anything.
You wouldn't be able to say anything, but you could look around.
If I was in
you know what would be cool? Like wink at somebody?
That's what I would tell somebody. I'd be like, okay. You know, we're pals and everything, but you're going to get executed anyway. So could you just do me this one favor? If I'm going to be standing right there, just blink twice.
Yeah.
Just blink twice for me.
Yeah. And that'd be good, Brandy. You got to admit that.
She wasn't listening.
She's not emotionally invested in this podcast.
She's not even here.
Emotionally invested in the two of you. So if we could.
All right. Let's get to our listener of the week.
I am emotionally invested in her, though.
Okay.
So
very well.
So our listener of the week is Mary Ray. Mary Ray is wonderful. And in case you don't know, Mary Ray makes Afghans, and they are beautiful.
They're outstanding Afghans.
Wonderful Afghans.
She makes,
they're very
and let's
warm.
Make, when we say Afghans, we're talking about like a blanket, not
a,
like
a
person
blanket.
Living in Afghanistan.
Yes.
Or a big furry dog.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. All of that is true. Jesus Christ.
No, they're beautiful.
They are beautiful. She makes, I've got one that's got the History Dweebs logo guy on it and a UK blanket. Tim's got a Bengals one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a Broncos one, don't you?
I do not have one.
Oh, well, you suck. So
I forgot about it. I'm going to have to order a Broncos one,
yeah,
I suppose.
She doesn't like you. So anyway, so they're wonderful. And if you are interested, she's got some posted out there. But if you're interested, shoot her an email at lakes50mr@gmail.com.
Okay.
And let her know she could do just about anything you want. She is from Saranac Lake, New York. She's got two daughters, Samantha and Amanda.
And they'll probably be listening to this podcast, so hi, Samantha.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
I'm sorry, what were their names? Samantha
and Amanda.
Amanda, okay.
Okay. She has retired from doing retail, and she was in the Coast Guard for 10 years.
Yes. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service. I didn't know. She said she's been listening to us since the inception, and her favorite episodes are the first four or five because those are the ones that got her hooked.
Okay.
She wants to give
Tim. Was Chuck on those podcasts?
I don't think so. She wants to give Tim podcast. And Brandy a shout out.
Oh, thank you, Mary Ray.
Because we never get them. And without us, there would be no laughter in many of the listeners' everyday lives.
You hear that, Chuck?
Hold on. She's not giving me a shout out?
It doesn't look like it.
Sorry. Sorry, Chuck.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine, Mary Ray. That's fine. I'm good.
I mean, it says your name here, but I don't think she meant it.
Oh, okay.
I don't think she meant it at all. She's very excited to be Listener of the Week. And when she first received the invite, she was with her sister-in-law, who had never heard of podcasts. And now she's hoping that she will subscribe. So absolutely subscribe.
Yes.
To podcasts. They're wonderful. There are so many good ones out there. So that is Mary Ray's...
Listener of the Week. Excellent. And
we need to have intro and outro to that.
Yeah. We're going to choose a new listener every week, and we're going to do a little profile on them so that we can thank you for listening, because we really appreciate it. And the Colonel is going
we
to give us...
Like when we start, I could do Listener of the Week.
No, but you could do shout-outs, Colonel.
Let's do some shout-outs here, Timmy. Let's start here with some new listeners.
All righty.
We got Kaz Every.
Kaz, thank you for joining us.
The lovely, and I believe she's got a small profile picture. I believe we might have added another Ginger to Team Colonel.
Okay.
Rosanna Fitton.
From the They Walk Among Us
they
podcast.
They Walk Among Us.
Hottest podcast in Great Britain.
Yeah, apparently it's a big deal.
It is a very big deal.
But, you know, we're very pro-Ginger here.
Mm-hmm.
Jasmine Whitney. And Rosanna, thank you very much, because she said my accent was her favorite accent of all accents.
Yeah, well,
she's obviously a woman of taste and refinement.
Google Foghorn Leghorn. There's a lot there that's similar.
Brianna Miera and Belinda Hu. At ZHUH, but I'm saying Hu because I'm going with the Czech version. Brooke Johnson, and we got Lucy and Emma Slaughter.
Lucy and Emma from the Slaughter Podcast.
Yeah,
which is a very, very funny podcast in Great Britain. One of my favorites. If you haven't checked out Slaughter, please do. It's hilarious.
Casey Wilcox is a new one. Cheryl Pierce is not a new one, but I had not put her on there, so I apologize, Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl's a nice lady.
Monroe Blake, Lori McNally, Josh Hill, Lauren Marer, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Stroop gave us a shout out on podcasts we listen to, so we deeply appreciate that.
Yes. Kim. Thank you very much, Kim.
Jennifer Svoda just had a post here that she appreciated a shout out, and I mangled her name.
I cannot imagine that.
Yeah. Jennifer. So she's Jennifer. From now on, Jennifer, you are Jennifer Samoan. It's easier for me to say. Jennifer Samoan.
So people just need to change their names so that you can say them.
Yeah, if they just change them to regular names.
Regular names.
Kimberly Cameron.
Yes, Kimberly, who's also a Patreon supporter.
Thank you,
Kimberly.
But you know what? I'm not cool because Kim said last night that dibs is not a legal thing. Dibs is legal.
Are you talking? It's recognized in several states.
Yeah. In Ohio, I believe common law says dibs is binding.
I think once you get rid of the validity of dibs, then it's anarchy.
It's anarchy.
Chaos. Society falls apart.
Well, clearly.
Yeah. Let's see who we got. We got, of course, the lovely Tasha and Miss Ophelia.
Tasha out there in California.
Yeah, and we're going through half of these at a time. And beautiful Katya, Olivia Meyer, Donna Kern, Aaron Wentz. We hope you're doing good. Phyllis Munson, Byron Snellings and Bridget. Gina Spillane, Laura O'Reilly, Donna Hellman. Let's see. Christine, Timmy.
Bourgeois.
That's right. Katie Moorhead. Very funny, lovely girl. Cheryl Muscoo. Becky Mitchell. Vicky Ann Wallace. Nick and Nicholas Stahl, who won that competition.
Yes,
won that comedy competition.
Nicholas won the Albuquerque Make Me Laugh contest. He's a brilliant comedian. He's got some stuff on YouTube. Check him out. It's Nicholas Starr with two R's.
Yep. Very
Thank you for
man.
Listening,
very
Nicholas,
funny.
And we're very proud of you.
Neil Eagleton, Rebecca Montanle. Let's see, Christina Montana, of course.
Happy birthday to Jeremy Collins of Podcast We Listen To.
Oh, okay. Jeremy, happy birthday to you. Fiona Crisp. Let's see. We got, who do we not get? Tammy Ennis.
Tammy is very active on her page. Thank you, Tammy, for all you do.
Kelsey Fro, Brandy Deese. We move on. Diane, we mentioned her. History mm-hmm. Goes Bump.
History Goes Bump. I listened to it this weekend. She had a podcast on Bobby Mackey's.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. It was really good.
Danielle Jones.
Danielle Jones from Between Us Girls. Waiting for them to invite me on their show.
Why would they do that?
Because I'm entertaining, I'm engaging, and
not
I'm enchanting.
But you're not
I'm enchanting.
I believe that they will.
You get between
probably,
them. That's yeah, between us between, girls.
There's
you
four
get
of them.
Them.
They could invite both of us. Hmm. And they, I think
yeah, if Danielle Jones really loved me like she says she does, she would invite me on that podcast.
Well, she says she would Team Colonel.
No, she's just telling you that. She's stringing you along. She loves me.
Okay, if you
wow,
Hollywood
easy,
yeah,
warrior.
Hi, Holly.
So, and I got Jennifer Samoan mm-hmm. already. Nina.
Nina Instead from yeah. the Already Gone podcast, brilliant podcast.
Let's see, we got Chicago Lindsay McMillan.
Yes.
Tara Chinchilla.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Kamikaze.
Yes.
Nancy Jalapeno.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca Montanle. And then we move down to the Colonel's crew. Angie Ball.
Yes.
And glad to see her back. Lovely, lovely Nicola.
Nicola Reed.
Nicola Reed. Just a brilliant solicitor.
Yes, she is.
Allie, of course, and Charlie.
From the Insight Podcast.
Insight Podcast.
Yes.
Who would have been thoroughly disgusted with your script yesterday.
They
that Tylenol Murders
did you,
was good.
It was. Yeah, did you listen to the Tylenol Murders?
Yeah,
it was really good.
Last night.
Yeah, Insight's really good. Why I didn't stay on that podcast, I'll never know.
Probably because you didn't want you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Charlie's been sending me notes about coming over to her thing.
But, yeah, but she has been recruiting you.
Yeah, she has. Yeah. She's made me some offers. Mm-hmm. Sarah Mimosa, Sarah Spaghetti, Jennifer Burda, Karen. I love Karen Barnes.
Is the Blood Feud still on with Allie?
Oh, yeah, it's on. It's on right now. Yeah, it's on like Donkey Kong.
Too. You're going to end up murdered.
Oh, I'm sure I will. Allie's got...
Riddled with bullets.
No, you know what? Because Ali strikes me as more of a machete person.
Oh, yeah, probably.
She's
probably.
From Australia. They don't use guns down there. They just hack you into pieces. Janet Fitzgerald, and our lovely Irish girl, Frances Darton, Chicago Jessica Williams.
Hey, Jessica.
Amanda Fenton, Bocce Ball. Her name's changed on the thing, so I'm not really sure. I gotta figure that out.
God bless you, Brandy, for sneezing during the podcast.
Yeah. Or Satan bless you because
I didn't sneeze into the mic. I turned away.
Well, sneeze into your elbow.
Half the time you don't talk into the mic either.
Yeah.
Continue, Colonel.
You don't read the script with any passion.
You know what, cocksuckers? I have sat here and listened to you two piss and moan and bitch and whine this entire fucking podcast. Shut your cock holsters and get on with what we're here to do. Timmy's been here since 4 o'clock this fucking morning. It's time for him to get out of here.
I have to get up every early every day to be here. He doesn't roll in until noon.
Well, I know.
But you roll in at 10 and you leave at 2.
Not what the really.
Fuck are you talking? But if, why don't you settle down over there? You got.
I was settled down, and you two keep pulling my goddamn string.
Says, yeah, we're in the office and we're talking. We did. It looks like we're not going to get a raise this year, which, you know, let's face it, we don't deserve a raise.
You know, but Brandy nice says,
but we have a great boss and a great work environment. Mm-hmm. But Brandy says, you know, the reason why I stay working here, she points to the microphones, the podcasting. Now, because you know how much she loves podcasting, how much work she puts into
how much you, this is really her life.
Yeah, her calling, right?
Yeah, her calling. Yeah, her passion.
You need to make sure this is a road you want to travel.
But anyway.
You are riding with me the crime con.
Anyway, she comes in at 10. She leaves at 2.
You're out of your fucking gourd.
And the only reason she's staying in this job is because she can podcast.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good reason.
You're out of your fucking mind.
Brandy lives in the northern part of the city. And strangely, all of Brandy's customers are the people that she has to meet with are within 5 minutes of a house.
Yeah.
And all the meetings are at 1 o'clock, and there's really no point in fighting that traffic to come back here after the meeting.
Goddamn right.
So she rolls in at 10, yeah, has a 1 o'clock appointment by her house.
Yeah.
Like 3 days a week.
Rolls in at 10.
Wow.
Rolls in at 10.
Wow.
So anyway, let me get back to the lovely Shannon Rossett Shannon out there doing the Lord's
Shannon
work.
Shannon is doing the Lord's work.
Yes. Keep up
fighting
the good work.
Good fight.
Yes. Keep up the good work, Shannon.
The beautiful Tiffany.
I want to say hi to Teresa Slavens.
Okay, Teresa Slavin. Tiffany Bell, who just posted a picture of Bo's state championship ring.
Yes.
Got his name on it. It's very
Her
cool.
Her son, Bo, is a very talented football player in the state of Michigan.
Monica D. Agostino. Bo's going to Eastern Michigan, by the way. Scotty J. I'm trying to think of some good things to say. He's a loyal team colonel, man.
Yes. What about Elise down there in Arkansas?
We love Elise.
Yes.
How you doing? Liz Keating, of course, on Team Colonel, who's making copies of her.
Did you give a shout out to Jada?
Jada?
Yes, new listener. Well, I'm not sure she's a new listener, but she's new to the page. So, Jada, thank you for joining us.
Okay, Jada.
Shonda and Larry.
Well, motherfucker.
All right, continue. I really want to thank Todd Long. He started a post yesterday about the Patreon page on her.
Okay. That was very nice of you, Todd. Thank you. Angela Cobes, Radhika, the lovely Radhika Smith.
She celebrated her 5-year anniversary of her divorce this week, or Independence Day.
Radhika,
congratulations. You're a strong, independent, beautiful woman, and you're in a much better place.
Okay. Well, okay.
Do you disagree?
I don't know where she's at. She could be in a gulag somewhere.
Wow, you speak ill of Radhika. I always speak highly of her.
You say she's in a better place.
She's a very beautiful young lady.
She's beautiful.
Very talented, very bright.
Speaking of beautiful, we have the mascot of Team Colonel.
The lovely Fallon.
The lovely little Fallon. I mean, she's a girl Fallon's just a girl you just want to grab and hug. You know what
she
I mean?
She is very
just
lovely.
A sweet, sweet girl. Mm-hmm. Not on Team Colonel, but I give her a shout out anyway. She's with Brandy's Bitches. That's what she self-called.
Damn right.
The Vagina Vigilantes. Jennifer Wicks.
Yes. So. And Amber Krupp.
No, Amber Krupp is dedicated Team Colonel.
All right.
Jamie Tarantino.
The very talented.
Very talented. You got your pictures from Jamie, didn't you?
I did, and they were beautiful.
Yeah, she's
beautiful.
An extremely talented artist. We have some talented people
we
in
do.
Our group, and you know what? None of them are on this podcast.
None of them are. Speaking of talented and beautiful, the lovely Rachel Marie Flynn.
Yes. Yes, who is local. She's from here in Cincinnati.
We need to get her on a podcast one day.
Yes, we do.
Donna Hellman. And you know who I really like? And this is a weird thing because I like when our listeners are is Maja Zanalka.
Oh, I like Maja. Yeah, she's a new Patreon supporter too. Thank you, Maja.
Maja is a when you have listeners that are in non-English speaking things, because I will tell you, anytime we get a new listener, I like to know where people are from.
Mm-hmm. So you creep their page.
I look at their page. That's mm-hmm. okay.
You creep their page.
And I see hers, and then hers is always cool because it's written in, I don't know what country she's from, but it may be like Romanian or whatever.
I think she's Polish.
Polish?
I think so.
And then mm-hmm. you hit that little C translation button,
uh-huh.
and it's cool, but just, you know, that's mm-hmm. whatever.
That's a fascinating story.
Yeah.
I'm glad
yeah.
I was sitting down for
yeah.
that.
Aaron Fowler.
But she is a very nice lady. Thank
yeah.
you, Roger.
Robin Sanchez. Hope you're doing well. Tracy Lynn Busby, hope you're doing good. Of course, we got Justin and TJ, who make the page very fun.
Yes, they do. Thank you, guys.
And speaking of somebody who's very fun, very sick, very twisted, the lovely Callie Jones, Timmy.
Callie is fun.
Callie is fun, but she's crazy as hell. Todd Long, of course.
Thank you, Todd.
Andrea Odell. Norma DiMaggio. Let's see. Sarah Morgan. We got her, and then we got, and now look, we've only gotten through half of them, so the next half will be next week.
We're doing rotation, right.
We got, of course, we always end with the Lady Beverly.
Lovely Lady Beverly.
From across the pond.
And I found out that she is corresponding with you and Brandy with snail mail, and yes. yet, but she's not writing me letters, so I'm going to write
Graham. I believe she might think you're illiterate, Timmy.
Yeah, I can see where she gets
at. You can't put pen to paper, Tim.
I'm going to start writing Graham.
So, and her Graham and her beautiful and Channing and just smart as hell daughter, Alexandra.
Yes, and her dog, Sully.
The noble Sully.
Yes.
The noble and brave Sully.
Yeah.
And the woman who would have been so, I'm so glad that Think Podcast went wrong yesterday in a way, because Dottie would have been so damn disappointed in that podcast.
Well, someone died.
I mean, we do. One person died, and she wasn't even interesting.
Only one died in this one. Nothing. Or two people died in this one.
I mean, we might as well have done somebody that had a car crash five years ago. It was, you know.
And my mom's so sweet. She thought we had a computer. She thought the problem was the computer, and she was like, I'll buy you a computer. And yeah, no, Mom, it's okay. I'm like an adult. I can buy it.
and that was, it was very, very nice of everybody yesterday to do that. And I was thinking, you know, I have two laptops actually at home, three if you count Logan's. And
yeah, no, it was very sweet of everyone. We really appreciate it. We really do.
We actually have some means. It's just,
yeah, it was just we were just frustrated that we couldn't bring you a podcast yesterday. That's all.
So the beautiful and the kind-hearted and the sweet Dottie. And Dottie, I'm glad you missed the episode because the script was
just wonderful,
horrible.
Mom.
Fucking horrible.
Where can people find us?
Dr. Frankenstein couldn't have brought that script back to life.
You know what? Here's the thing. You two have been riding my ass, and he's the one that's been pissing and moaning about the script.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you're pissy with me.
Oh, I'm not.
You can
find us
on Facebook.
Well, yeah. That's just a simple question. Why are you getting all defensive?
Join us on Facebook at History Dweebs, the podcast. As History Dweebs, the podcast, is Facebook group. That's where all of our listeners hang out, and we interact with them, and we have just a wonderful time, don't we, Brandy?
Yeah.
We're going to be at Crime Con.
We are going to be at Crime Con.
June 10th and 11th.
9th, 10th, and 11th. Christ.
Yes, 9th, 10th, and 11th in Indianapolis.
Yes.
So Brandy and I will be there. We're not sure if the Colonel has hotel reservations.
Chuck is not staying in my room.
He's not staying in mine either. You're not sleeping in the bathtub. But
he can stay at the La Quinta Inn, room 226.
All right. So join us there. You can also find us on
Twitter.
You can find us at HistoryDweebs1. Or you can follow Chuck at Hawk Walters. You can also find us on iTunes or any of the popular podcast apps. And is that about it, Brandy?
And you can find Cover to Cover Kids on iTunes as well.
Yes, Brandy's new podcast for children. There's no swearing.
Nope, no swearing.
It's still strangely erotic.
You're so gross.
Yeah, thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.